for the board, for the invitation to come along and to speak to you and to testify. And why I said it's good to be with you, the bad news is for you, you're not going to be out at 8 o'clock tonight. That's the sad news. But sure, where else would you be going tonight after this? And it's good to be with you tonight, and we trust that the Lord would bless us together as we speak of our Saviour and what He has done for us and what He continues to do for us. And even so, though we've been through the wars of the world, we have medical problems as well, to know that the Lord is with us. I just want to read one verse with you of Pastor Dennis Lyon testifying, and I thought this would be a very appropriate verse that he read for the word of testimony. It's found in Acts chapter 26. And Paul is giving his testimony here before Agrippa and before Festus and Felix. And here in Acts chapter 26, in the verse 22, he says unto them, "Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying no other things than those which the prophets and Moses should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles." What I can say with the opening words of that 22nd verse, "Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day." And I want to tell you what. I want to tell you what the Lord has done for us, and how the Lord has kept us, and how the Lord has preserved us, and how the Lord has guided us, and how the Lord one day will take us home to be with Him. It's good to see you tonight, and with some friends and visitors in the congregation. We want to thank you for coming along and for your support. But we need the Lord. And so let us turn briefly to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, we thank Thee for all that has taken place in this service. We thank Thee for this anniversary weekend. And Lord, for the witness and the work of God here in this corner of the vineyard, down through the years. And we pray, O God, that while we give Thee thanks for the years that are past, Lord, we look to Thee not only for this year to come, but Lord, for the years to come, that Thou would bless the congregation and the minister here, Lord, that Thou would bless them in the work of God and give them many souls for their heart. But, O God, we pray at this anniversary, the weekend, and as we stand, Lord, the Sunday evening of the first Sunday of a new year and a new decade, Lord. O God, we pray that you will come and stir each of our hearts, stir us up in the work of God. And, O God, we pray that tonight, Lord, that we'll start afresh with Thee and to serve Thee. Lord, give this preacher help tonight that we speak of and exalt our Savior, for it's in His name we pray. Amen. Now, we'll give you the details, first of all, because you know my name. Many of you know me. But you're thinking, by the way, what is it? Well, I'll make that simple for you. If I live to the 15th of February, and we're not too far away, I'm hopefully not long, I'm 56 years of age. Born on the 15th of February, 1964. Born into a family, quite a large family. And I was the youngest of five boys, the best looking, the tallest, and the most intelligent. And also four sisters. So that was nine children in the family. I'm always a gentleman, even from the very beginning, because I have a twin sister. And I said, "You go first." she was born 20 minutes before I was. More than I had a breath, but I was born on different days. She was born on the 15th, I was born on the 16th. But that's just a little bit of my background. We were born into a large family. We were born into a farming family. I see her brother down here. And they would have bought some of the heifers that we had, calf heifers. You know, we always sold the bad ones, but then you got the firm ones, and we got the good ones. And you know what, you get a good price for the two. I can remember my father coming home from Market Hill with a hamper one time, and he was getting £980 to get the calf at home. And I'm talking, what, 30 years ago, brother? We said to him, "Why did you bring that hamper home? We have more than enough." So after, he says she was worth £1,000. He had £980 in his pocket. And that's as sort of a map it was. It was a bit twisted. They gave rid of the land for another £20 stake. But we're brought up on a farm, and that's where I got all the McPhees and the cues. That's where I got the education. Out in the fields, we kept pigs as well. And we often said we kept pigs to feed the cows, and I was reared on Weetabix and spuds. And that was just about it, but that done me no harm. And that made me decide that I am, and just the person that I am. But we never had much of the world's goods, and I said, I'll be okay if not. I can remember the house, an old thatched house, was the first house we had. They were about 6 years of age. Remember the rats running across the ceiling from one side of the house to the other? No running water. You can't imagine that. No running water. No sink. Or no kitchen. No bathroom. Nothing like that. And so, right in the very beginning, I was determined that I would work hard and that I would make something better of life. Have my own life and my own family. That's what I wanted, even as a young man. I wanted to have my own life and my own family. Wanted to work hard and provide for them more than we had. Now, while we had many things in the world, we had one thing, and that's the most important thing of all. And we had a godly mother. My father, at that point, wasn't saved. He made a profession whenever I was about 18 years of age. But we had a godly mother. We were brought up in the Free Church. And we were brought up in the Church of Ireland. But Mummy had a great brethren background, and so we went to all the brethren meetings. They came and they collected us. They were very, very good to us, the Emersons of Ardmore Gospel Hall. Very, very good for our relations, but very, very good to us. And they came and they collected us, and so we were at the brethren on a Monday night, and on the Friday night we were at the Good News Club, and Alan Emerson's home, and the Scarlets, and the Youth Fellowship. And then on a Sunday morning, we went to the Methodist Sunday School, and there we were taught the Gospel. There's no question about it. We sat under a godly old man. And then, on the Sunday afternoon, we went to the Church of Ireland. And we went to the Sunday School. It wasn't so good there. But then after that, we went to the Church of Ireland service. And it wasn't so good there. But and then, once a year, the Presbyterian Church, the Belleville Presbyterian Church, was in for the Abrahams, because there was more children in the Abraham household than there was in the church. And so they sent for us to come along, and of course the thing would be done that, and of course you had your food and all the rest. But that's the way we were brought up. But I was brought up knowing that I needed to be saved. And listen, folks, that's what you need to know tonight. You need a Savior. All have been born in sin and shapen in iniquity. And because of our sin, we're going down to a lost eternity. But Christ has died that our sins might be forgiven. He has shed his blood that you might be redeemed. And listen, folks, I don't care what church you go to tonight. I've covered the most of them. I've been in nearly all of them. It doesn't matter what church you go to. You need to be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You need to be born again. You need to see it. You need to be washed in the blood of the Lamb, your ceremony. The Apostles' Creed, the Magnificat, the Nunc Dimittis, it will not keep you into heaven. The Westminster Confession of Faith is good, but it will never keep you into heaven. You need to be saved. Yes, Christ has died. But as I was preaching in the old church this morning on the Passover, the Lamb had died, but the blood had to be applied to the doorpost and to the lintel of the door. And Christ has died. He has shed his blood. But unless you apply that blood to your heart and to your life and to your soul, unless you're washed and redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, you go to a lost eternity in hell. You need to be born again. Washed and redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. That's the way I was brought up. Now, at the age of 10 or 11, I can remember the night. I don't remember the date. But listen, folks, you don't need to know your date of birth to know that you're alive. And you don't need to know the date of your conversion to know that you're saved. You know, there's people in the torment themselves because they don't know the date that they were saved. Well, stop it tonight. You don't need to know that your date of birth to know that you're living. And you don't need to know the date of your conversion to know that you're saved. I don't know now the date whenever I was saved, but I can remember the night as well. I was cleaning out some pigs. I'm being brought up with a brethren.
Unless the college is completely different then, you know, we're not going down that road tonight. But I was brought up believing that the rapture. And I thought, if Christ comes tonight, I'm not saved.
You remember the name I am? I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior.
I wonder, can you remember that name? Whenever you were saved? Now you're up plain and honest, but you're not saved yet. Well, why not tonight? Like this? The Sunday night, the first Sunday night of 2020.
My father meant this would be.
Behold, now is the accepted time, now is the day of salvation. Listen, friend, if you're trusting in your good works and your self righteousnesses, you're dependent on a broken stick for far too long.
You're right with God. Make this to be the night that you remember for the rest of your days. I will let them all cry. Those 10 or 11 years of age, I've seen my little brother. Teenage years, you stopped going to the children's meetings. I was on the farm with quite a number of cattle. Things just weren't as handy then, but there was plenty of work. And so I was at home on the farm, and during the teenage years, I wanted to do nothing else, folks, only farm. Tractors and machinery and cows and cattle, that's all I live for. That's all I need. That's what I enjoy. That's all I wanted to do. And so it was that times whenever the meetings were on, you were too busy to go out to the meetings. Stop going to the children's meetings. Stop going to the Sunday school. Stop going to church. Too busy. And you know, farmers can justify themselves for missing the house of God because we're busy. I tell you something tonight. I don't care if you're farming or not. If you're too busy to miss God's house, you're too busy. And you're busier than what God wants you to be. See, the problem was, and it's often the problem on the farm. The farm was running our lives instead of us running the farm.
The farm was running us
instead of us running the farm. And can I tell you something? Once you start listening to meetings, you start on the road to backsliding.
You start missing your prayer meeting.
You start on the road to backsliding. I wonder where you'll be on Thursday night. Now, I know there's people with responsibilities, there's people with children, there's people with work duties. Maybe working around.
But there's people sitting on the sofa.
And there could be in the prayer meeting. And it's the first step to backsliding. And you know, as a teenager, I backslid. I would never done it for the things of the world. Now, you're not living with a man that smoked and drank or cursed or anything like that. But you know, you don't have to be in the things of the world to be a backslider. You can be a backslider sitting in a church pew on a Sunday morning, and maybe a backslider sitting in a church pew on a Sunday night, and was told apart. Never in a prayer meeting. Do nothing for God. I wonder if that's something. You used to be in the prayer meeting, before the services, even on Sunday. You were there. But you're not there now.
But what am I going to call you? What am I going to say about you? If you're not doing for God what you used to do for God, what title are we going to give you?
Well, the title I give myself in the teenage years was a backslider.
Backslider at heart. But you know, God will be with you. God will power and give you an opportunity. He's a merciful God. But eventually, God will be with you. So happened to be my sister that I was killed almost 30 years ago. I went to be with the Lord. She was going around with a young man out of Port of Down Church, and they invited us along to a meeting one night. It was a special testimony meeting like this. My Christian study was a rodeo champion, so that suited us in the farm. And we went along, and that night, sitting at the very back pew in the gallery of Bethany Free Presbyterian Church, I thought the Lord speaking to me.
joined in the backslide, called this a fire. And that night at the back of the gallery, I came back to the Lord. I said, oh, still, I still have these desires for the farming. Still have these desires. I was coming back to the Lord, you know, but, you know, it's one thing to be saved, and it's another thing to be surrendered unto the Lord. I'm not talking about the second blessing, Father. Don't get me into trouble with the week prayer. Same thing, Jeff believes in the second blessing. But I believe in being surrendered. Surrendered on to the Lord. You know, I come back to the Lord, but still I have my own desires and my own ambitions. The Lord has started to call me, but I refuse to go. Wanted me to go into full-time service into the ministry, but I refused to go. I started again from one. I didn't want to be in a pulpit. Listen, folks, I never chose to be in a pulpit. But God chose me. I got that was young and young man duty. They started going out with a girl. Last school when I was 19. Started going out with a girl, we were engaged and ready to get married. We're holding God's love. And I was at home on the farm intending to go nowhere else but the farm. And those two things in particular that I put before God and put before His calling, the Lord took away from me. We were 6 or 8 weeks, I don't remember now, it doesn't matter. But in 6 or 8 weeks, stopped getting married and the invitation for Prince or whatever he did. For me and her, we parted ways. Now you say, did he quit her or she quit him? But don't you worry about it. God quit us. Some people want to know more than they need to know, you know. And you're not going to know what you don't need to know. You know. Because you can think about it. But God took them away. And then you see the farming. I've been farming for 9 to 13 buckets off the ground. And there was no winter, the cows come into the house. And between the dust from the cows and the smell of the sedge and everything else, the cow left behind. My eyes locked up. And I was in the parlor, and as I bought a baseball, my eyes shut and I couldn't get them open. And I thought, right, I'm the sort of stubborn boy you have to pay no attention. He said, I'll do the outside work, and so did I. I threw that in. Next year the cows come in and hold it. God will bless us. And never were disobedient. The old chest locked up. And then the eggs were stuck and the chest wouldn't work. And I went to the doctor and said, I could just turn into farmer's room. He says it could. And there was an old boy lived down the road from us and he was sitting at the end of the table. He had suffered from farmer's lungs and all he could do was. And that's all he could do, breathe. And I said to the doctor, listen, don't, I knew what was happening. And tell the doctor what was happening. He wasn't going to be able to fix me. God was in him. And you know, folks, whenever that engagement fell through, I had a little mobile set up at the end of my father's house, on my dad's house. And I did a little mobile and surrendered my life to the Lord. That was a changing point in my life. Now, can I say this? If you're saved tonight, and your life, your spiritual life is just a humdrum life from Sunday to Sunday, and you think there's something missing here, I'll tell you what it maybe is. You're not surrendered to the Lord. It is a work for you to do. But you're not surrendered yet. And until you're surrendered, let me tell you something you don't know. And until you're surrendered, you'll never know the joy of His salvation. But I was surrendered, and I was going back out to the church now in Portadown. And one Sunday morning, the Reverend Eddie, do I want to do that, please? Because I thought he was picking at me. You ever get that feeling whenever the minister preached and you said, when he gets in at the door, it's down. So he's preaching at me tonight. And I wanted out of the church that Sunday morning because the Lord said in John 15, verse 16, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And again, you see, even though Sir Andrew started fighting with God, he came out when that was a stubborn part. He says, Lord, if you let me work, I'll do missions. I'll go to the college and I'll do 2 years and I'll come out. I'll be an evangelist and I'll do missions around the country. But just let me work part time. The Lord said, no, I have ordained you. And the thought of me with a collar on, that just didn't seem right, and it's still impossible. My wife will try to have collars up on the door. And the only time to see in there is when there's a dedication or a wedding or a funeral. And that's the only time you probably see me with a collar on, unless it's to keep me out of trouble some other way. Come on. It's a good thing, you know, whenever you've got steam to have a collar up. or a Bible sitting there. I'll tell you this story. My mum was in the hospital and she was very early at the time. And I came out of the hospital and the Bible sitting on the passenger seat. I told my wife, and man, you know what, women are like, the phone, everything's at the bottom of the bag. She never heard the phone, never answered. And I had to go down the road, and down the motorway, wanted the phone back, and of course I looked at the phone. Talking away on the mixing night, I went into the morning. Better go. Please just beside me. So I sat the phone down, and there's not like a bit of honesty, you know, folks. Always be honest. Called in, and the policeman got out, put the cap on me. Oh, here we go. I blew collar on, but he came along and I put it, I said, that's a constable. I'm sorry. There's nothing to say. I was on the phone. He says, what was the big urgency? So long. He says, my mom wasn't present so well. And I said, poorly. He says, I'm very concerned about her. My mom wasn't speaking anything. And so I had told my wife, and she never answered, and she pumped my back, and said, I left her at home. But I know it wouldn't happen. So I looked at the phone, and he says, right, he looked at me as if to say, you're a common pack of legs. And I said, honestly, Constable, says, hey, I'm actually a minister. Says, I tell you the truth. He says, well, you are. I don't know you. And he says, you do? He says, I see the good group down in the passenger seat. Thank you for it. He says, you see the next time your wife phones, ignore her. And they go on to the next safe place, pull over, stop the car, and talk to her. Pull her on. He says, don't let me catch you here. He says, thank you, Constable. So listen, folks, if you're speeding next year, you're the Bible sitting on the passenger seat. You let get away with it. But anyway, the Lord had called me. And eventually, I get in and I went to the Reverend Agate, asked him about the ministry. He says, is there anything else he can do? Nothing. He says, go away for a year and think about it. And I come back and he says, I still feel it. The call to the ministry said, take another year and think about it. But he doesn't want me. This man is something killing me. I don't know what I've ever done on, but he doesn't want me. And I said, Mr. Agate, I can't. Says, if I don't go this year, the Lord's going to pass me by, and I have to live in God's second best. He says, well, Jeff, you've got to do two things. He says, join the church. Say, I haven't joined the church. Well, have you joined the church? He says, join the church, and he said, apply for the college, and that's what it did. I've met Lorna after the previous engagement. Lorna and I have about a year, 3 months ago, I've met Lorna, and I've been going with Lorna, and the Reverend Elliot said to me, he says, you're going with the wee girl, I'll see you coming out to the prayer meeting with her, and you're out to the services with her. I will get married next year. He says, when you get married, you have to live in. So we got married, and were married on the 27th of June 1990. I'm a very one because I'm no good with hips. 27th of June 1990, we were married 30 years, but do us that well.
The following year,
the Lord blessed us. Remember, I said I wanted to have my own home, my own wife, and my own family. The Lord started to bless. And now I've got a wife that I love and a wife who would stand by me through thick and thin. The Lord gave us our first daughter, Rebecca, the 8th of April. Then in September, I entered into the Whitfield College of the Bible. The following year, we were blessed again with another little girl, Naomi. And then we were left for a third time with our oldest son, Andrew. Now, those were during the 4 years, 4 years of college, were textbooks. Tough times academically. I wasn't the shiniest marble in the college. Everything I got, I had to work for. Tough times financially as well. Lauren went out, she got a, there's three little ones to see. Lauren went out to work a couple of days a week. I would have finished college 4 or 5 o'clock in the evening. Went back to Irwin's bakery. And listen, folks, I washed baskets. I washed them very bread baskets to get a few pounds to get through college. I picked up the litter in the bakery yard to get a few pounds to get through college. Those were tough days, but that thing was something. They were humbling days, and those were good days. And those were days when we proved the Lord and His faithfulness. I tell you, folks, if you're saved, what are you worrying about? We have a faithful God. Whenever He says that He will meet our needs, well, why are you doubting? Oh, He might give you the cash in your hand. Will He give you the means to get it? We have a faithful God. Don't you worry. If you love the Lord and you're walking with Him, you have no need to worry about 2020. For He goes before us. And His presence will go with us. And my God shall provide all your need according to His riches and glory. Now, I finished college and waited for about 15 months. I remember dancing at home one time saying, I thought the Lord had forgot about me. Waiting 15 months and I started thinking, I know the Lord has called me, but there's no door opening now. But then the Lord opened up the door and gave us the call to our church in Auchnacloy. And you know, there's just one thing worse than having no pulpit. And that is being in the wrong pulpit. There's only one thing worse than having no church. And that is being in the wrong church. And even though I was back in the bread banks again, you see, I'd leave the farm and I was a bread man for 7 years before I went into college, and they always told me there'd be a job in Irwin's bakery for me. And after college, I went back into the bread banks again. But whenever I got the call from Auchnacloy, I said, Lord, I want you to show me. You must show me from your words. Is this where you want me to be? The Lord said, in Genesis chapter 12, and the verse 10, He said, and there was a famine in the land, and the Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there. Well, Auchnacloy was actually down. People talked about taking a run up to Auchnacloy, but it was actually down. Our brother Jarvis Crawford, that was killed off the tractor, I remember being in his house one day, I said, hey Jarvis, is Auchnacloy up or down? He said, Father, everybody talks about going up to Auchnacloy, it's down. He says, why do you ask that? And I was just wondering, Jarvis. Just wondering, brother. You see, the wee mouse was working in my head. And God said, Abram went down into Egypt. And I knew I had to go down into Auchnacloy to be the minister there. And so, on Friday the 13th of June, I'm not superstitious, but it was Friday the 13th of June, I was ordained to the ministry and installed to our church in Auchnacloy. It took place in the Water Valley Church. Now, I was only there about 2 months. And I started to feel ill. And I remember taking the sickness of Brother Harry's office to me. And Lorna, Harry came up to the house. I don't know if you remember this, Lorna, or not. Harry came up to the house and I was in the bed. I was sick as could be. So says Harry, he's not well. And Harry came down into the bedroom and Harry said to me sometime afterwards, he said, well, I wonder, I thought we're going to die. I was really curly and the fingers started to swell. And a Sunday morning I'd been going to the tap and I'd run the hot water over my hands and I'd get my fingers straightened out and get my hands sort of going again to go down to the church to preach. And you know, I thought it was rheumatoid arthritis when I went to the doctor. The doctor said, they said, well, you've got rheumatoid arthritis. He said, is that where you bubble up? And he said, it is. He said, well, can you keep them straight? He said, you can. He said, well, Dr. David, whatever you have to do, you do whatever you give me out there. He said, if you can keep me straight out there. And I said, Lord, I was in the college for 4 years. I'd wait 3 years. I said, Lord, if you give me 5 years, what will happen? Well, he says, I want you to go and see the specialist, Dr. Bird, in Dungannon. He was a lovely man. I don't know if you ever met him, but he got me up on the couch and he started to squeeze my fingers and my knuckles and he started to squeeze my feet and my ankles and he, I don't know whether he burst his hair or not, but his hair was thrown and he scratched the head. And he said, I think you have SLE. Only thing I'd ever heard of was an SLR, but he says, you have SLE. And he says, well, doctor, you know, keep talking for a minute. So we did it easier. He says, it's the stomach mucus of hematosis. That's what I got talked for. You know. And he says, well, what's that? He says, it's a bit like rheumatoid arthritis, but he says, it affects the whole body. And so he says, I want you to go down and see the kidney specialist in the city hospital in Belfast. Well, wherever I could go, I'll go. So I went down, and long story short, biopsies and blood tests and one thing or another. As diagnosed with systemic lupus erythematosus, it's known as systemic lupus. And probably the most of you have never heard of it. You see, if you look up the mirror, don't read a book to the cover. What is systemic lupus? Well, it's life-changing. And it's a life-restricting and it's a life-threatening condition that affects the joints, the muscles, and the organs of the body. Of late, the peripheral neurology, that's one of the conditions. You say, what's that? Well, whenever I go to bed tonight, I probably rub my feet for off one another for about an hour before I get to sleep and have a few killers in me before I can get that out of sleep. And even in the chemist the other day, I got some of those USB drops, and they're supposed to help you sleep, and whether it's in the mind, or the drop will go into your tongue, so whether it's in your tongue or your mind, but you have these things to do. It affects the joints of the body, it affects the muscles of the body. You see this physique that I have? That's a cortisone physique. You have a big torso, you have a big belly, and your skinny legs and your skinny arms and your muscle wastage. And that's all part of it. Lungs, I'm attempting not to open the galvan. So you've got to be very careful. You see, whenever you're open the double for Gary. But you don't mention Gary down here, you're going out of town. As I said, I'm up and up the galvan for listen, folks, I have about 8 different clinics that I attend to. Well, this peripheral neurology, you probably will have another one to go to. And I take about 18 different types of medication just to get up and get going. The probably one of the most difficult parts of the systemic lupus is the chronic fatigue. Because I'm sitting in the middle of a lovely meal and you just get so tired that you can't finish it. But the Lord's good. Good folks. What did he get down because he looked out a headache? Take something for it and praise God you've got a headache. And you keep on going. Keep on pressing. We have a great position.
But a great shepherd, but a great savior. But anyhow, the Lord has opened the door for us, not before. With my condition, I've been there for almost 21 good years. The Lord opened doors up into the schools. There was often applied primary, often applied college. There was a bit of Calvin primary. I was in Ballygolly primary, Upper primary, Town Hall primary. There was this doors open into the community, into the old people's homes. 21 good years. Now we had some good times to stand for more coming down the road. Remember the night I was preaching in Kilkeen, and it was the family night of Upper Boy. And so they were got away from Kilkeen and we were home, and we're passing the church, and we were able to fall in at the church in Upper Boy for a cup of tea. Now, Kilkeen didn't start at 7 o'clock. Upmafoy started at half 6. And with some powerful times there, there was times after the family service was set and chatted that long, that we put the kettle on for the second time. 21 good years and seemed so saved. You shall start. My, the Lord was good. During the time, I look back and I'm so thankful for that the Lord chose me and He used me to establish the work there, you might say. During the time we purchased the manse, we were able to buy the old Upper Methodist Church for an outreach work. We left a beautiful building almost completed. People said to me that it was a pity that we weren't there to open the church. Well, the Lord has spoken to me, you know, years before that I wasn't going to open the church. I've been reading about David and the building of the temple. And David was to have all the preparatory work done. And he gathered up all the materials. And I've been reading through the book of First Chronicles again. And he sat in order, the singers and the doorkeepers and the musicians. And he had everything set in order. But David wasn't going to build the house. But Solomon, his son, would build it. The whole country after him would open the house. And I remember one night then, I had done hours and drove for miles and miles and miles to get the work, the church started. And the Lord said to me one night, he says, are you just building a church to put your name on it? He says, I know. I said, well, I don't think I'd open this church. I think the Lord thought we were going to die. He says, what? I said, I don't think I'd open this church. I've got to do this one. Somebody else will open it. And so if you say, were you disappointed that they didn't open the church? No, I wasn't. Because God told me it's going to open it. You see, folks, if you walk with God, there'll be no disappointments. And if you walk with God, He'll tell you things. And He'll show you things, and He'll guide you. But what a blessing it was to minister there for 21 years. In our first year in Auckland, boy, God blessed us again with our second son, our fourth child. And I tell you, my God is good. Whenever you're surrounded, oh my, reap in the blessing. But after almost 21 years, then there was another sickness came. On the 22nd, on the 21st of this month, almost 2 years ago, I took it again. Ran to the doctor and he says, Jeff, you have to stop work. Taking off and putting in the sack. Stress, you know, the whole thing that got to see me and him. Or David and I. Reverend Bill and I, we're just human. We can get sick. Whether it's body or mind, it doesn't really matter, it's all body. After I went on the 22nd of January, and he says, you've got to step back. Too much. And so, for another four weeks. I spent the time sitting in the Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? And again, the Lord, you see, listen, folks, if you're walking with the Lord and reading this word, He's going to talk to me. I was reading You know, one day, I came home from a meeting, I met some of the brethren to discuss the situation, my heart and all the rest. I knew that I needed to seek the Lord. It was a Monday, I think it was. You know, I went off to do a few jobs in the afternoon. I went into the conservatory and I sat down and I said, Lord, you've got to show me what you want me to do. He says, Lord, I'm not the type, you know, to go all through the Bible seeking for a verse that suits what I want. I said, Lord, you've got to show me what I'm reading. And it was written in Exodus chapter 3 in the verses 16 and 17. And the Lord said, I have surely visited you. And I'm only going to read part of this verse. I have surely visited you, in verse 17. And I have said, I will bring you up out of Egypt onto the land of the Canaanites. And I stopped there. And I says, Lord, whenever you call me off the floor, you said, Abraham, I'm dying from Egypt, I sojourn there. And now, Lord, you're saying, you said you've come up and you're going to take me up out of Egypt, off to the land of the Canaanites. I said, Lord, you want me to leave? And you, the Lord, was saying to me, I want you to leave. I thought that was hard. Because, folks, I want you to understand this. When the minister leaves the church, he leaves his debt. Now, don't do it for money. I'm going to pay you for it. I was losing an income. I was losing the home. Lauren was going to lose her job. And my youngest son that was at university and doing a job as well, he was going to lose his job as well. I meant all about redundancy and all the rest. Whenever the Lord wanted me to leave off my boy, I was losing the income, Lord of hers, and James says, and our hope was there. Thankfully, we were only home to our purchase, so if we needed it, it was there. But I tell you, listen, folks, our faith was being tested and tried. But remember that wee verse in Philippians 4, my God shall provide all your need. And then I have the promise, he says, I'm taking you up out of Egypt. But he went on, he said, I'm going to bring you into the land of the Canaanites. Now you know what the land of Canaan was like? A land of hills and valleys. Now the Lord didn't tell me where he was going to take me. And I didn't know. I only came back home from my work. And I said, Lord, I know what I need to do. She says, what's that? As I got to step down. She says, I know that. I said, Lord, I don't know where the Lord's going to take us. I'm like Abraham when he went out to Isaac to sacrifice his son. He didn't know where he was going. He didn't know when he would get there. He didn't know what path he was going to take. And that was the thing. But I said, I'm going to trust the Lord. And I stood down from our church and off the fly at the Lord's behest. You know, after that, the Lord began to work. You know, look at that time, I get close. On the 25th of May, 2018, I got a wee phone call from the Reverend Morris Baxter in our church in Malta. He said, Father, would you close in prayer at my retirement service? Well, see, what? Well, I'm friends with a man, but we weren't best buddies and drinking coffee together. I don't drink coffee for her. We weren't drinking tea together. But you see, it was all in the Lord's hands. And listen, folks, this is amazing. I closed in prayer on the 25th of May after Reverend Baxter's retirement in Holden. Little did I know that night. But the mantle that was falling off the Reverend Baxter was falling on me. You see, a few days later, Evan Graham had been preaching around the churches. I was enjoying it. But I was praying and was asking the Lord to show me where he wanted me to serve him. And I was reading an account of Elijah and Elisha. Elijah was taken up into heaven, and the mantle fell from Elijah onto Elisha. I felt that the Lord was speaking to me. Don't ask me, you just know. You just know God. Whenever the Lord's speaking, However,
you see, as I said, we're still human and we have our own desires where we want to go and where we want to minister. And I read that unless it returns the death he'd come. And I thought, oh good. The Lord's taken me back the way I came up the boy, I'm going back to our man. I thought that's good. New churches, few churches were, and many of them talked about. I thought I was going back to our man direction. Can't be our man. And as also, I read on and was reading about Ruth and Naomi, and how Ruth and Naomi returned again. That's my country. I said, this is great. This is wonderful. I'm going back to our man. That's where I want to be. And you know, I was reading then about the wise man that came. They came to the Lord and they went back. This is a portal for him going back to County Armagh. This is where the Lord wants to be. And you know, the church that I thought that the Lord was calling me to, they met. I was sitting there with the moderator, and the moderator was told me, the thought, oh, what's happened there? What's going on in that church? He hasn't phoned at 10 o'clock. No phone call. Not 10, no phone call. Not 11 o'clock. He said, good morning. Hey, come. I'm going to phone him. Oh, he says, Jeff, he says, I should have phoned you. He says, ah, they weren't successful. They didn't get a call. They didn't get a call. That was wrong. My heart sort of sank and thought, well, the Lord makes no mistakes. It's my fault. I've read into it what I want to read into it. You see, that's possible. You can do that. You can read into the scriptures what you want. And I said to one, I said, I'm going to go to bed tonight. I sort this out. And I went into the study and I got the maps of the Bible. And the stories of Asia, Militia, Ruth and Naomi, the wise man. Lord, got it wrong the whole time. As I have been wrong, the Lord wasn't leading me that way at all. The next night, Mulder was calling. That's his word. Look for her, Ruth and Naomi came from the left, no problem. And went up there, northwest. That's the door, and I think we're going to Mulder. The next night, I got the phone call. Father, almost 90% of the vote. See, the Lord is calling. Heaven is big. But I said to Jonathan Crean, I said, Father, need to pray about this. Now, within about 4 months, 4 weeks, I had to be out of the mass. And we probably thought, so many is that man. And I said, Lord, I want to be sure about this. Now that was a Wednesday night, I think it was. I did Thursday night, and I said, Lord, I want you to show me. I want to have a peace about this. But on the Saturday morning, it was company comes to Cranford at Town. And I was ready, and you know the story, man. The wife said, we'll be ready in 5 minutes. Went out of the study, I said, Lord, I want you to show me. I need to have a peace about this. I don't want to be going to a church just to have a place, a house to live in, and a pulpit to preach from. I want to know that this is your will. Lord, give me a peace about this. And I was reading in the book of Daniel. Now, Daniel's not the type of a book that you want to go to. That's your forgetting. So says, Lord, you've got to show me where I'm reading. And I was reading in Daniel. And I was reading that morning in Daniel chapter 10. And I got down to the verse 19. And you know what it said? Oh man, greatly beloved. What? Almost 90% of the vote. You know what? Pick that box. You know what else he said? Oh man, greatly beloved, fear not. And I thought that's good. Now remember to say, Lord, I want you to give me a peace about this. You know what the next word was? Oh man, greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto thee. Oh, boy. You talk about the Lord answering prayer.
You ask a prophet about the Lord guiding you. Oh, listen, folks, you're going to the funny prophet. You have a Savior who saves, a Savior who keeps, a Savior who strengthens, a Savior who guides, a Savior who will lead you. No fear. Fear not.
Peace belong to me. The morning came down and we went to Portadown that day. This was all going through my mind. And you know, 10 minutes into the quiet, Jesus said, worship the quiet, didn't he? The Lord says to me in Portadown, are you all right? Oh, yeah, I'm all right. I'm all right. And we're going home out the Burgess Road. The Lord said, I said, Lord, I need to go home from Jonathan. She says, what are you doing? She says, I have to go to Malta. She says, I've got to go to the last 2 days. I says, what? She says, I couldn't have told you that 3 days ago. And this is a wonderful thing about it, listen, folks. He says, how do you know? She says, the Lord spoke to me. But it's the Lord. He's good to work for you. You ever listen, folks? It's wonderful whenever the Lord calls your wife, tells you, you said, Abraham. I don't get answers like that. When you're walking with the Lord, when you're talking with Him, when you're surrendered to Him, you know, I've got to finish and I thank you for your patience. The table has been toppled, Lord. Put it up there. The story was work. You know, the Lord's blessed us. I have to say that. I come here tonight to exalt the Savior and to encourage you. The Lord has blessed us. You know, we went to Malvern and the Lord said to me, where am I going to get work? I said, Lord, don't you worry about work. The Lord will provide. It's okay. We job and men carrying in the community. Listen, folks, I tell you, this is how good God is. So let the blame carrying on the stairs, we have a wee run for you. And you can steer. You know, if the car broke down, you could walk down the road and tell you to steer, I wouldn't need to get up out of bed. 4 miles down the road, and the Lord said, go on to the top. That's in Jones. And then I said, Lord, James is doing his degree in mechanical engineering. He needs a year out. You know the way they do a year out. Lord, he needs a placement. The Lord, give him a placement. And so he is. You know, can't even stand in the world. I tell you, he's a God that never fails. He's a wonderful God. I've had it tonight without him, I've lost. And listen, without him as your Savior, you're lost. Lost in sin. If you're walking your own way, it's in the head of something, you're lost. Because you're not in the path that God wants you to be. You're starting a new year. Oh, listen, folks, I want to say this. I want to lead church in Auckland, folks. And Auckland Quiet was small and the board was just built up. I went back to Malvern and the church is small, but I trust and pray up 12 years to go with that and years to go to our fire. And I believe the Lord will really use us to build it up. Already what blessings we've enjoyed in just 13 months. We've been able to organize a monthly family night service and receive visitors sitting for every monthly service. Would you believe it in the Northwest? We've had the college students down for a week. We've had a 2 week mission. It was amazing. The Lord's presence was with us, but many people weren't in. I was only there a few weeks and got a phone call one morning. And the lady out of the church, we woman was there, we're dying in Newton Stewart. A good wee woman would not see it. And she says, Jeffrey, she said, what lady do you want to start the doctor? I said, you want me to come down?
I tell you tonight, I hear a bit in the dark. She says, someone's going to get on making the phone. She says, hey, don't you want to call down and see who you want? She says, will you do that? She says, sure. She says, maybe you afterwards, make me a visit. Well, Linda says, Pastor Karen needs to look after it through the window, never pretend to go through the door. But crossing the jetty, she was back on the phone again. She says, she'll not get a call. I says, I'll go down. I went down and those folks got headed to the Lord. And I took part of a service, a funeral service, just a few days before. Oh, the Lord's please. At a school ministry, I love working with the kids. He has opened the doors into large John Newton Stewart and Gordon Primary. I do a 6-week course in addiction around the schools. He's opening up the schools for us. The Lord's blessed us. Each week here we have visitors coming in. Even this morning, there was a young man and his girlfriend from Market Hill in the church in Baldwin. And how it's the widow's night of it's precious. It's the widow's night of it's good. This year we hope to have a banner mission in Arch Straw, or no Straw Hill, Orange Hall, outside Newton Stewart on the Drumbridge Road. That hall's been attacked, I don't know how many times we're hoping to have a banner mission in it. Hoping to have a children's mission. In the summertime, maybe in September, see there's no children's meeting in Malton. And we've got out of the schools, they're getting to know me. We're hoping to have a mission, and through the motion of the mission, maybe be able to open up a children's meeting. It's all in God's will and God's plan. And God will bless us. I tell you, I'm not finished. I'm sorry to keep it so long. The Lord's going to. If you're not seeing it tonight, listen to us. Accept them as your Savior. If you've never been surrendered, surrender your life to a backslider and heart to break with God tonight. Start where you once were. Get back out to your prayer meeting this week. Start the year where you should be. In the prayer meeting, in the services, in the outreach. I tell you something, listen, folks. You'll never know the joy of the Lord in your heart. You'll never know the blessings of God in your life until you're all gone. God bless you. Thank you.